coming to you from deep inside the bowels of a great big empty. Get ready for another episode of The Home Defense Show with Skip Coriel.
Hello, American families. Welcome to this week's episode of The Home Defense Show. I'm your host, Skip Coriel. And if you love your family, care about them deeply, and want to learn how to protect them in every facet of your life, then you've come to the right place. We've got a really good show today. We are going to have Brady Schechinger and Steve Doolin from Michigan Coalition for Responsible Gun Owners on the show. They'll be here in segments 2 and 3, and we're going to be talking all about what's happening in the lame duck session of the Michigan legislature right this very moment. What's going to pass, what's not going to pass. And in segment 3, we'll talk about what's going to happen under our new governor-elect. Everyone is worried about that, and we'll see. We will get their expert opinions on that. I have just been getting ready for Christmas. Oh, Christmas is almost here. I got most of my shopping done. Sarah, she's working hard. She's making a lot of presents this year. I made a lot of venison jerky. We're passing that out to the family as well. The kids are just loving that stuff. I'm pretty much done deer hunting. I might do a little bit more, you know, just for nostalgia. But I'm pretty much done with that. I'm already thinking about mushroom hunting in April and May time frame. So I'm thinking about warm weather. It just helps me get through these December, January, February cold months here in the Northwoods of Michigan. I've been spending most of my time here writing a new novel. Originally, I told you I was writing a romance, but I'm starting to wonder about that now. You know, I'm up on about page 80 now. It's going pretty good, but I don't know. I keep killing people off, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm looking at all the other romance novels, and, you know, someone doesn't die every 10 pages, and I'm thinking, is there something wrong with me? I thought I was romantic, but is it possible that I'm not as romantic as I thought I was? I mean, how can that be? I mean, with my level of experience, I mean, I've been married 3 times. You'd think a man would have romance down by now, but apparently a man's idea of romance is not the same as a woman's. And originally this was going to be like the Jack Ruger romance series. I may have to change that. It might be the Jack Ruger murder mystery series or action adventure series. I love that name, Jack Ruger. It's set up in the Upper Peninsula, way up in the Keweenaw, and a lot of action. It's kind of gutsy and gritty, and it's got some grease in it. So it's not a typical romance novel, but it's not a typical murder mystery either. I'm really enjoying it. I'm having a great time. I love the UP anyways, and it's kind of my way to visit up there without actually going there, because, geez, what is it, like a 5-hour drive for me? But anyways, having a good time with that, and I will keep you posted on Jack Ruger and what he's doing and who he's killing. So let's move on to the news. I got a couple of good news items that I wanted to go over. First, we are going to visit Detroit. Here at PersonalDefenseWorld.com, there's an article, Church Lady Shoots, Kills Attacker During Home Invasion in Detroit. The phrase church lady spawns images of Dana Carvey on Saturday Night Live in the 1980s. Do you guys remember that? Saturday Night Live used to be really good. I mean, I remember, you know, John Belushi and Chevy Chase and Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, you know, all those guys. They were just so funny. Now everything is so political, and I just can't handle it anymore. It's like kids these days, they don't know what's funny anymore. What passes for comedy is a bit bizarre to me. But I used to like that church lady one. That was kind of funny.
Well, isn't that special?
However, last Sunday in Detroit, the phrase church lady took on a different meaning after a woman shot and killed an attacker. Those are some very important words there. A woman shot and killed an attacker. I like the sound of that already. This should be a good article. According to reports, a 55-year-old woman was leaving for services with her daughter when a man accosted them. The man allegedly grabbed the woman's coat before the two women fled back inside. However, the man then followed the pair inside their home. After repeatedly asking the man to leave, the homeowner retrieved the handgun and fired two shots. Wonder why she only fired two. The guy must be fast. Police arrived and found the man with at least one round in his chest. He died at the scene. Well, you know, it's hard to fault the woman for that. He attacked her outside, followed her into the house, and then wouldn't leave. That is downright rude. I mean, some people are just crying out to get shot. I mean, that's my opinion. You know, the only thing that I really don't like about this, you know, you all know, according to Michigan law, you can't carry in a church unless you have the permission of the presiding official, whoever that might be. I'm guessing if that woman had permission of the presiding official, she would already have her gun on her, in her purse or in a holster or whatever, and she wouldn't have had to run inside. She could have just shot him right in the driveway and saved a lot of time. It would have been much more efficient. But, hey, until we can get rid of those pistol-free zones, this kind of stuff is going to happen. But, hey, how do you argue with two shots, one to the chest? The shooting happened around 10:30 a.m. in the 9,000 block of Mark Twain Street. Oh, he's one of my favorite authors. I love Mark Twain. Police said there was also a 75-year-old woman inside the home during the incident. Don't mess with the church lady. At this point, police believe the woman didn't know the assailant and acted in self-defense. Neighbors heard the shot and at first thought the victims had been harmed. They were later relieved to learn that the woman fought back and none had been injured. That's good. One neighbor even went as far as saying he still felt safe in the area, as he also has something to arm himself with, too. Well, okay. You know, there's no doubt about that. People who carry guns, they feel safer. Now, hopefully, they're not just armed, they're also properly trained. So, you know, because as you know, some people are content to feel safe. It's not enough to feel safe. You have to be safe, too. And to be safe, you've got to have the tool and you have the training to know how to properly use that tool. Obviously, this lady, she had the tools, she had the training, she took out the trash. Who knows if divine intervention played a part in this incident? Well, I know, there are no coincidences. But there is no doubt this lady had the wherewithal. She also had a gun for which she knew enough to end the attack, protecting both herself and her family. Now, she wasn't carrying, and I already told you why, but she might want to consider doing so in the future. You know, I think she'll probably at least carry it with her into her car. You just get a gun safe. If you're going to a pistol-free zone, have one of those portable gun safes. I like those Hornady Rapid safes, but you get the one that you like, as long as it's safe and secure. Cable it to the seat with a steel cable so it can't just be, taken out of your car. And just lock it in your car inside the gun safe. That way you at least have it on the way there for something like this or a carjacking or whatever happens. Better to be safe, 50% of the time than none of the time. The bottom line, don't mess with the church lady. Absolutely. This is a good story. I like this. I like it when little old ladies from... Little old lady. She's younger than I am. I like it when little old ladies from Detroit take out the bad guys. All right, what else we got here? This one here didn't end so well. This is from Maryland. Fox News, foxnews.com. Maryland woman stabbed to death after rolling down car window to give woman money, police say. You know, what's interesting here. The first story was from Detroit, where shall issue, and Michigan is fairly Second Amendment friendly. Maryland, on the other hand, boy, don't even say gun in Maryland. They do not like them. They won't let you carry them. Maryland is just a big pistol-free zone. It ended differently in Maryland. A Maryland woman was stabbed to death Saturday after she rolled down her car window to give money to a woman who was holding a sign that read, quote, "Please help me feed my baby," unquote. Jacqueline Smith, 52, was killed around 12:30 a.m. Saturday while she was in her automobile with two other relatives in Baltimore. Baltimore, now there's a safe place. After attending a family gathering, Smith was in the front passenger seat when she spotted a woman who appeared to be holding a baby and a cardboard sign asking for help. You know, my kids, they've asked me before why I don't stop and give people money. You know, they'll have the sign. And of course, to a 7-year-old or a 9-year-old, it just makes sense. When someone is starving to death or they have a sign, they're homeless. My kids have soft hearts. They've been taught to be good Christians, to help the downtrodden. And they asked me, says, Dad, why don't you stop and give these people money? And I said, kids, my experience with these homeless people, a good share of them are mentally ill, on drugs or alcoholics. You give them the money and they drink it, or they just use it for drugs. And you never know what's going to happen. I mean, if they're mentally ill, you just don't know what they're going to do. I mean, you could be a victim. This was a good Samaritan who saw an individual holding a sign who appeared to be down on her luck, said Jeremy Silbert, Baltimore Police's public information officer. So they stopped the car and gave her money. After Smith rolled down her window, an unidentified man approached their vehicle to thank her for her kindness, police said. The man then allegedly tried to steal Smith's wallet. Thank you for your kindness. Now give us everything else you have. It led to a struggle before he plunged a knife into her chest. You know, no good deed goes unpunished, does it? Oh my gosh, that is so disgusting. The man and woman fled the scene, and Smith's family rushed the 52-year-old to the hospital where she later died. The attacker was described as a man in his 30s, about 6 feet tall, with a goatee. The woman, who appeared to be in her 20s, was about 5 feet 4 inches tall and was last seen wearing a brown jacket. Anyone with information is urged to call Baltimore police. Sad, 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 but predictable. Number one, you're in a transitional space, right? You're in your car. You're going, say, from your home to your church, from your home to your place of business, whatever. When you're in that car, you're safe until you stop the car. But once you roll down that window, you are inviting people to do whatever they want. In this case, stab you in the chest with a knife. This was obviously a setup. It was a scheme. It was a plan. They had planned this out. That's why you don't stop for these people. I know, folks, you have good hearts. You want to help these people. But like I told my kids, I said, kids, if you want to help the homeless, if you want to help these people who are addicted to drugs, the mentally ill, call up a place like Mel Trotter Mission in Grand Rapids, or Guiding Light Mission, or the YMCA, the Salvation Army. Call up places like that who are set up to help these people safely. Because you and I, we stop to roll down a window, they can kill us. There's no two ways about it. You can't say it any other way. When you roll down your window to a homeless person, you are putting your life in their hands. And in my case, my life, my wife's, my 7-year-old, my 9-year-old, my 12-year-old, and I'm not going to do that. So please be very, very careful about that. I know you want to do your Christian duty, but do it online by pressing a donation button to your favorite charity. All right. Well, I think that's about all the time we have for in this segment. We're going to take a 2-minute break here. Check out our sponsors, firearmslegal.com/MidwestTactical, and see what they can do to help you protect yourself legally should you ever have to use your firearm for self-defense. And then go to elitefirearms.us, see what Larry Jackson can do to help personally fit you to the pistol of your choice, the one that will work first time every time. When we come back, we're going to be speaking with Brady Schechinger and Steve Doolin from Michigan Coalition for Responsible Gun Owners. This is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
My name is Siege Coriel. Welcome to the Home Defense Show with my dad, Skip Coriel. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training. Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol. So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit elitefirearms.us.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. Today we are speaking with Steve Doolin and Brady Schechinger from Michigan Coalition for Responsible Gun Owners. Men, welcome very much to the Home Defense Show.
Thank you very much.
Before we get started here, start with Steve. Steve Doolin, what is your role at MCRGO?
Well, I'm a member of the Board of Directors. And I'm also the liaison between the MCRGO and another group called the MCRGO Foundation, which is actually a charitable foundation with very similar goals. So that I've got kind of two hats over there. And I think I'm, as of the last election, I think I'm called second vice chair or words to that effect.
All right. Yeah, I think I read about that in the minutes to your most recent meeting. So congratulations on that, Steve.
Thanks.
Okay. Now, Brady, what do you do there at MCRGO?
I'm the executive director of MCRGO, hired staff. So I run the organization. Prior to that, I worked in the Michigan House of Representatives for 15 years, actually as a Democratic staffer back when there were quite a few more pro-gun Democrats than we have today.
What happened with that, Brady? I mean, why don't we see more pro-gun Democrats these days?
We've seen a cultural shift. It's happened in, started about 10 years ago. By the 2010 election, most of the pro-gun Dems either lost to far-left progressive Democrats in their primaries or in the more marginal districts, they were wiped out by Republicans. And we saw a big shift in northern Michigan, for example, a number of Democratic legislative seats in northern Michigan that had been Democratic for decades have shifted to Republican control. And moderate Democrats in more suburban areas like Oakland County have been replaced with progressive Democrats. So it's just a result of this continuing divide we see nationally between American voters.
Yeah, there's really quite a polarization going on out there, which is a shame. Do you think that Democrats in general, I'm talking about the state of Michigan, are there fewer pro-gun Democrats as far as the rank and file? What do you think?
The rank and file less so than among elected officials. Because the way our primary system works, for somebody running in a Democratic primary that is pro-gun or pro-life for that matter, they're at a significant disadvantage in being elected in the primary than they would have been 20 years ago. Among voters themselves, I think we're probably going to see that trend, or we see that trend, but to a much lesser effect than elected officials. So a number of our members of our organization, particularly a lot of the union people, would describe themselves as pro-gun Democrats. And, you know, they'll continue voting Democrat, but they're seeing fewer and fewer pro-gun options in the candidates on the ballot.
Yeah, that's a shame. MCRGO, Michigan Coalition for Responsible Gun Owners. Just briefly, what is your mission? What are you guys all about? Either one of you can answer that one, I'm sure.
Sure. And we advocate for the safe and responsible ownership of firearms, and we achieve that through legislation, litigation, and education. So we have a big training component to our organization as well, and that training component keeps getting larger every year.
Well, there are several pro-gun organizations in Michigan. How do you guys differ
from the other ones?
Well, we are by far larger than the other ones. There's Michigan Gun Owners, which is a split off of MCRTO, split off in 2005, I believe, primarily as an internet forum, and they actually operate an excellent internet forum. Michigan Gun Owners Forum is what you'd search for in Google to find that. It's a great place to discuss legislation and also to find and sell firearms. Michigan Open Carry is probably the smallest of the organizations. They are much more focused on the open carry component, where the bulk of our members tend to be concealed pistol license holders that only carry concealed.
All right. Okay, let's get right into the nuts and bolts of this. We just had an election. What happened in this past election, and what does it mean for Michigan gun owners?
Steve, I hate to take up all the talking here, but...
No, that's fine. I'll jump in if I have something useful to say, yeah.
Sure. I do want to break off on a tangent and wish a happy 70th birthday to all of our mutual friend, Uncle Ted Nugent, Michigan native, MCRTO member, and NRA board member, turned 70 today, and that's going to make some people probably feel pretty old. But, yes, he is indeed 70 today. So your question was what we saw here in Michigan in the most recent election. And what we've seen is a classic off-year election when you have a Republican president in office or a Democratic president in office in their first off-year term, that's 2 years after they were first elected, the results tend to favor the opposite party of the person in office. So we knew that this year was going to favor Democrats going in. Back in September, there was talk of a huge blue wave election with Democrats sweeping control of all branches of the U.S. Congress and the Michigan legislature. That didn't happen. Republicans actually kept control of the Michigan House and Michigan Senate. Republicans increased their majority, in fact, in the U.S. Senate. They did lose control of the U.S. House. So now what we have going into 2019 is divided government on both the state and federal level, with the Democratic governor, Democratic attorney general in Michigan, and Nancy Pelosi returning as Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives. So things are going to get colorful.
Yeah, I think they are. I mean, in one regard, it's going to be fun watching. You know, as long as you don't get discouraged, it's going to be fun to watch that. I'd love to be a fly on the wall, you know, just listening to some of these closed-door meetings that they have, but that will never happen. The lame duck session that we've got coming up now, actually we're in it now, how long does that run?
So it's scheduled to go until a week from today, Thursday, December 20th. And the way the rules for the legislature work is that any bill that isn't passed the chamber in which it is introduced by the week prior to the end of lame duck session isn't going to pass. And the reason for that is there's a rule requiring a five-day layover of legislation. The typical legislative week goes from Tuesday to Thursday. So if the legislature ends its business for the year next Thursday, December 20th, any bill that's not passed its first chamber anyway by today, by the end of today, is going to die by the end of the year. So I'm watching to see which of some of these final bills end up passing the House. One passed last night, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. But see what end up passing by today, because that gives us a really good indication on what's not going to pass before the end of the year.
You know, a lot of people are concerned. I mean, the people that I talk, you know, to, just, you know, Johnny Cupcake on the street kind of people, they say, listen, we're not going to get any bills passed. We need to worry about our rights, Second Amendment rights, slipping away under a Democrat governor. Is it really all that bad? Do they exaggerate? What's your opinion? I want to get both of your opinions on this.
Yeah, if you don't mind, Brady, I think I finally have something useful to say. I would point out that not only is it the governor, it's the attorney general. And we've got a couple of attorney general opinions in Michigan that are extremely important to our gun rights. In fact, the way we got silencers in Michigan is via an attorney general opinion. And I know, you know, I'm a former U.S. Army infantry sergeant, so I know the tactical guys want to call them suppressors, but silencers, the correct legal term, right? So that's what's in the statute. So the way we got silencers was Mike Cox became Attorney General following Jennifer Granholm, who followed her mentor, Frank Kelly, who was the AG in Michigan for roughly the same time frame that Johnny Carson was on The Tonight Show, like almost 30 years, and roughly the same time frame, right? So Frank Kelly's right. opinion was that Michigan statute didn't allow for silencers, and then we got Mike Cox, who read the same statute and disagreed. And Jennifer Granholm didn't do anything to change it. She just kind of let it ride, let Frank Kelly's opinion ride. So the way we have silencers legal in Michigan is via Attorney General opinion, and now we're getting a new Attorney General, and that could change. So to me, that's as serious an issue as any. And then we've got a couple other AG opinions that are probably a little less susceptible to being interpreted out of existence at this point, including the one that says that if you've got a concealed pistol license from another state, you don't need to register your pistols as a Michigan resident. And that is well-reasoned, fairly recent Attorney General opinion that's not as vulnerable to attack. But the silencer opinion, frankly, I'm kind of, you know, I don't say this on certain sources, but Skip, I think your audience are all pro-gun people for the most part. So I'm just kind of giving a heads up to your listeners that that's what keeps me up at night personally as far as this change of command.
Well, Steve, what would happen, you know, at the ground level? Let's say I've bought a silencer and it's all legal today. The new Attorney General comes in, changes his mind. What's going to happen to my silencer?
Well, the general rule is that things get grandfathered in, right? So because there's this prohibition against ex post facto laws, which is making something unlawful retroactively. And so that generally carries the day even in terms of possession of items. But this is exactly what's happening right now in New Jersey, in the state of New Jersey, with magazines. They keep reducing the capacity that's allowed for magazines in New Jersey. The 30-round mags were banned previously. My understanding is that they've got one going into effect soon, if it hasn't recently, that would reduce capacities to 10, or they had a reduction to 15 at some point. The 10 is really a bright line, though, because as you're aware, the vast majority of pistols are sold, semi-automatic pistols are sold with 15-round magazines at this point in history. In New Jersey, they have comprehensive registration. So they're actually kind of batting down the hatches for potential house-to-house door-kicking missions by law enforcement to confiscate 15-round magazines that were previously purchased lawfully in the state. That's certainly going to, you know, hopefully before they start kicking in doors, that's going to be litigated. But that's going to show us the way, essentially, because there's an argument, a legal argument out there that ex post facto bans don't apply to contraband. They just apply to criminal behavior, right? So we can't prosecute you for something that was lawful at the time you did it, but possession of an item, contraband item, meaning, you know, banned by the government, might actually be okay to not grandfather those in. And that's really the answer to your question is, what can happen if there's a change and you've got folks, you know, we've got many, many folks in Michigan who are lawful owners of silencers. At the federal level, their status wouldn't change, but, it could be quite a mess, within the state.
Well, Steve, who makes that decision on whether or not they're grandfathered in? Is it the executive branch? Is it Attorney General? Who does that?
Well, fair question. It would depend. It would all start with an Attorney General's opinion being issued. And I'm going to kind of punt on your question saying that we just have to take it step by step and read the AG's opinion. But ultimately, it would be the judiciary that would make the decision because there's definitely going to be some litigation if this changes. And I'm kind of hoping that it doesn't, obviously. You know, frankly, my law practice is plenty busy. I don't really need any more work. So it'd be fine if everything was just left alone.
Sure. Well, Steve, while we got you talking here, I've got one more question. As a layman, I've never totally understood that Attorney General opinion where if you have a non-resident permit from another state, you don't have to register your firearm. I don't understand the connection, the logic.
Well, the logic is there. If you read the opinion, it's based on the language of the statutes. It's based on a very clear-eyed reading of the statute without any over-interpretation. I think it's the correct opinion. And even if you actually read the opinion, essentially, I'm paraphrasing slightly here because I don't have it in front of me, but there's a part of the Attorney General's opinion from just a few months ago that does allow for this that says, I'm really paraphrasing, but it says, this might seem crazy, however, this is how the law reads. And if the legislature wants to change it, they can. And that's, you know, pretty much what one of the paragraphs says. But if you actually read the statutes, there's an exception, very clear, specific exception, for people who have concealed pistol licenses from other states. And so my understanding is Arizona has become the most popular one because they're fine with doing it by mail. You don't have to physically go to Arizona, and it's relatively cheap and easy to do.
Yeah. Well, you know, Steve, I'll be in one of my concealed carry classes, and, you know, I'll mention that about the registration, and the question everyone always asks is, well, why? That doesn't make any sense. You know, and it's like they almost distrust what I'm telling them. You know, it's like, well, I'm going to register it anyways because that just doesn't make any sense to me. But you have to read the language.
You read the language. It actually does make logical sense in that regard. But, you know, in terms of the overall public policy, you know, there's an argument about whether that's what was intended by the legislature. But, you know, the legislature is just an ever-changing group of people. It's like an ongoing party where people show up late and leave early on a regular basis, and the party continues. And part of that means that you end up with the legislature seeming to be self-contradictory. And it's so common, actually, in this area of firearms regulation. I don't know. I think you probably know this, Skip, but I teach a class over at Cooley Law School called Gun Control Seminar, which is basically firearms law. In the first day of class, I always warn my law students, I say, do not, under any circumstances, attempt to apply logic to gun law. You run the risk of a stroke.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right. Well, Steve, thanks for clearing that up. I appreciate this. We are about out of time for this segment. And when we come back, I'm going to get both your opinions on this lame duck session that's coming up, what might happen, what might not happen. Is there anything to worry about? All right. When we come back, we're going to be speaking with Steve Doolin and Brady Schechinger again from Michigan Coalition for Responsible Gun Owners, Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
This is Phoenix Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Always use guns safely and wisely. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly, Skip Coriel.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if life was like the movies and the good guys always won? In today's world, if you're forced to use your firearm to protect yourself, you will need protection. Firearms Legal Protection is here for you. FLP provides you with seasoned, experienced attorneys that handle your criminal and civil matters as a result of you protecting yourself. FirearmsLegal.com provides its members with uncapped attorney's fees, bail bond protection, and coverage in all 50 states. We are not a reimbursement plan. You can access uncapped attorney's fees for as low as $10 a month. Firearms Legal members are provided with educational services, training videos, and access to our vast national attorney network. While you're protecting yourself, let Firearms Legal protect you.
Listen up, folks. This is important. There are plenty of legal protection services out there, but none will protect you as well as Firearms Legal Protection. This is the one I use and the only one I recommend. Visit firearmslegal.com/Midwest Tactical and protect your family now.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coria. We are speaking with Steve Doolin and Brady Schechinger from Michigan Coalition for Responsible Gun Owners. Now, Brady, why don't you give us a rundown on what exactly, what bills are in the legislature right now and what we can expect?
Sure. Well, our two biggest bills and our two biggest goals for this previous session are the general exemption for pistol-free zones with additional training that passed the Senate and moved over to the House, and then permitless carry that passed the House last year and moved to the Senate. We haven't seen any action on either of those bills in months, and the reason for that lack of action is a promised veto from the governor. So neither chamber is spending the time or the political capital on taking them up, knowing that Snyder would veto them anyway. That's unfortunate. Yeah. You know, people are worried about a change in governor, moving from a Republican governor to a Democratic governor. But, you know, we need to be honest with ourselves. Snyder hasn't exactly been the most pro-gun governor in the past 8 years. The only major bill that we've gotten out of Snyder is the CCL reform that eliminated county gun boards and allowed for online renewal of concealed pistol licenses last month when the final step took effect. So really moving from Snyder to Whitmer and retaining a Republican legislature, the noticeable change isn't going to be all that big. To get back to your original question, we know what's not going to pass. The next question is what is going to pass in lame duck session as regards firearms. What we've been looking at movement on are the Safe Schools package, which doesn't affect firearm rights a whole lot. It's more of a training and reporting series of bills. Those bills were discussed by Senate Judiciary Committee last week. They are still pending on the Senate floor. I'm waiting to see whether the Senate is going to act on them. They originated in the House, so once the Senate acts on them, they're a done deal. Whether those bills are taken up by the Senate today or next week remains to be seen. 2 weeks ago, I would have told you that I would have expected House Bill 4842 to pass. The bill would allow firefighters and medical first responders to obtain an unrestricted concealed pistol license. The bill came up in committee. There was attempts to add a number of amendments on them that generated some controversy, expanding those unrestricted CPLs to other groups of people that had lobbyists working for them, and the bill has just stalled. So we thought that was the one bill that might move during lame duck, and it no longer appears that that's going to be the case. But there's another bill that we didn't expect to move in lame duck that now is moving, and it passed the House last night and has gone over to the Senate. And that bill, House Bill 6525, which is introduced by Representative Bo Lefebvre from way up in Iron Mountain, would allow a person to transport a firearm on an ATV or UTV on private land with the permission of the landowner or the lessee of the land. And that has passed the House now. A bipartisan vote yesterday in the legislature, all but 32 Democratic legislators voted for the bill, and that bill has gone over to the Senate now, and there's a good chance the Senate will take that up next week.
Okay. So nothing big is going to happen in the lame duck session. Is that what you're telling me?
Nothing big. And, again, the governor is the obstacle in getting any of the big bills passed.
Yeah. You know, when I look back on Governor Snyder, I think it's fair to say we're looking back on him now. You know, I don't see a whole lot of difference between Jennifer Granholm and Rick Snyder. Am I just totally wrong on that, or what's your take?
I just want to say this thing that I've been saying a lot when this comes up, exactly what you just said, Skip. People say, what's the difference? Well, the difference is Jennifer Granholm signed more pro-gun legislation. That's the difference.
That's kind of what it feels like to me, too. But that's not supposed to be that way because she was a Democrat.
And the funny part for me is when I see her on national television kind of down-talking, bad-mouthing Michigan gun laws, several of which have her signature on them. So there's certainly some inconsistency there. And, Brady, correct me if I'm wrong, you know.
Sure. And Granholm has gone she is an example of one of those Democrats that 10, 15 years ago would have be called a moderate Democrat today. She wasn't pro-gun, but she also wasn't anti-gun. She was a prosecutor, so she understood the impact of crime. And she signed a number of pro-gun bills that MCRGO supported back in the day. And
now her attitude, like Steve said, when you see her on national TV, she says, well, I'm sorry I signed the Castle Doctrine Law, the Stand Your Ground Law. She expresses regret that she signed them, and that just shows the political situation happening in the country today with the number of Democrats moving from more moderate positions to more radical anti-gun, anti-constitutional positions.
Yeah. Well, I guess that just goes to show you that timing is everything, and I'm glad she was our governor at the time she was, because I certainly wouldn't want her now based on what she's saying on national television. Let's go ahead and let's segue into the new governor. Why don't you tell us about our new governor? What are we likely to expect?
Just a quick one, Ed, and you have a much more depth of knowledge on this, but I the way I describe the governor-elect with regard to this issue is I remember testifying before a committee when she was a senator on a gun bill. I can't remember specifically what bill it was, but I came away from that testimony in that committee hearing telling people that Gretchen Whitmer is impervious to facts on this issue.
All right, go ahead, Brady.
So during the election, we heard a lot of people say, you know, beware Whitmer. She's on Granholm 2.0. My response to them is no. Whitmer is much worse than Granholm ever was. And the reason we know that is going back and looking at Whitmer's record on gun bills when she was a state legislator. And she was one of those small handful of Democrats that always voted no on any pro-gun bill, regardless of the logic in the bill at all. She is definitely not Granholm. Granholm was willing to discuss legislation, see her point in it, and sign some of those bills. We're not, with Whitmer now in office for the next 4 years at least, we're not expecting to be able to get any big policy bills like permitless carry through her with her signature on them. So in the margins don't exist in the House or the Senate for an override of a gubernatorial veto, unfortunately, right now.
Well, is there anything, is there any type of improvement, even a small improvement, that might happen under a Whitmer governorship?
One area I'm taking a look at, because it doesn't focus on policy, it's more of a procedural and budget thing, is talking to the governor's office about their willingness to help us reduce concealed pistol license fees. Right now, Michigan has the highest CPL fees in the Midwest. They are some of the highest fees in the country. There's no real pro-gun or anti-gun philosophy behind those fees. And the governor's office may be willing to talk to us about a reduction in those fees to more reasonable levels on par with the surrounding states. You know, the big danger in that is they may want quid pro quo, and they may want us to support something like gun confiscation without due process or extending background checks to long guns that we're just not going to be willing to accept as a bargain.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but when we complained about the pistol safety inspection, we ended up with gun registration. Should we just keep our mouths shut and not open that can of worms?
And, you know, that's what's happened right now with Snyder when we talked to him about this general exemption for pistol-free zones. The governor's office has said, well, sure, we can talk about this general exemption for pistol-free zones with additional training or even getting rid of the private pistol-free zones. But in exchange, what the governor wants is to allow any public entity to declare themselves a pistol-free zone. He is essentially asking for individual control for that unit, which totally destroys the idea of preemption. And it would mean that any CPL holder, you know, walking into a county park, a township office, any state building in the state wouldn't know in advance whether or not that building was going to forbid firearms or not. And that's just not something we can accept. So why, you know, we're pragmatic in how we go about dealing with legislation. You know, we're not ever going to say, no, we're not going to compromise. Those type of philosophical compromises are just not something we can agree to.
Steve, what's your opinion on preemption?
It should be our sacred cow, or one of them, but certainly one of the bigger ones. I remember the days before preemption, when there were municipalities, for example, who would not issue a pistol purchase permit unless you took a class given by the city, and then the city would simply never offer the class. So they were creating de facto gun bans, or at least purchase bans for the residents of certain municipalities. That's just one of the examples of the level of sneakiness. I have no trust at all for anybody on the gun grabber side because of this history of coming up with some kind of a compromise that ends up coming back to bite us as the pro-Second Amendment folks. And that once you remove preemption, even if you start chipping holes in it, you are opening the door to all kinds of patchwork subterfuge where you've got talking points coming from a place like Bloomberg and local action being taken that at the very least makes life difficult for gun owners and at worst starts creating crimes that shouldn't exist.
To transition just one more time here. You know, I've been talking to people who, boy, they'll say, hey, the sky is falling in Michigan. We're going to be on defense for years and years and maybe even decades to come. And they'll, when I ask them why, they'll cite redistricting. The census is coming up in 2020, and they're saying it's going to be redistricted so that Democrats will have the edge for at least 10 years. Should people be moving out of Michigan if they want to get to a state that has better gun rights, or is there hope? Well, what's the long-term forecast on that?
So let me talk about redistricting and gerrymandering, because there's this myth out there that Republicans have gerrymandered the House and Senate to the effect that they're always guaranteed majority. And I absolutely disagree with that. We know that with similar districts to what we have now, Andy Dillon, who was one of those pro-gun Democrats, was able to be Speaker of the House for 4 years, just 10 years ago, just before Snyder came into office. So there is the potential with the way the districts are set right now for Democrats to take the majority. The problem Democrats face in Michigan isn't gerrymandering. It's that their concentration of voters tend to be in a few legislative districts. When you break a state up into districts, any district that you get more than 50 plus 1% of the vote in is essentially a wasted vote. And when you have municipalities like Detroit, East Lansing, Ann Arbor, and some of the more liberal areas of Oakland County, City of Kalamazoo, for example, that have partisan bases of over 60 or 70%, there's a lot of Democratic voters casting their ballots for Democrats in those legislative districts that are unnecessary votes to win a majority there, but they're not spread out into the suburban, exurban, and more rural areas of the state. And that's why Republicans continue to command majorities, is because their voters are spread out more around the state than Democratic voters. So I don't believe it's gerrymandering. I think it's simply where voters live. And that's not going to change simply because Proposal 2 passed last month. So I really don't see Michigan becoming a blue state again at any point in our lifetime. In fact, all indications are that the trend is going to continue. We saw Trump get elected with Michigan electoral votes in 2010, and I think Michigan is going to generally continue trending toward Republicans with the decline of organized labor and the political influence of organized labor.
All right, so I shouldn't run out and buy land in Utah or Arizona or Texas just quite yet.
No, but Wisconsin could use a few more pro-gun voters, or Minnesota.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, there's no reason to abandon Michigan because of the political situation. What we've seen is an off-year election that was already meant to favor Democrats. It favored them much less than some people had predicted. And I see us going into 2020 with another, reasonably strong Republican year, both in Michigan and nationally.
All right. All right. Before we wrap this up, I want to get a little more information on MCRGO as an organization. You guys recently, just a year and a half or so ago, you started, you created a training class for concealed carry, and you're certifying instructors now. So how is that effort going for you?
Excellent. We're almost up to 200 instructors now. MCRGO has grown to 8,300 plus members, paid members. That's up 2,000 from a year ago. A lot of those are the result of new members coming into the organization from students taking MCRGO classes. And I expect within the next year we're going to pass the 10,000 paid member mark. So we are making tremendous progress, both in terms of our paid memberships and also the organization's finances.
What do you think is going to happen with the number of concealed carry holders, CPL holders in Michigan? Is it going to continue to inch up under a Whitmer administration, do you think?
I think it's probably going to accelerate. And we see that, and we saw that when Obama was president. People are worried about their gun rights with a Democrat in an executive office, whether it's the presidency or the governor. And, you know, I believe we're probably going to see a continued increase. We're wondering where is the saturation point of interest for concealed pistol licenses in Michigan. We thought that a year ago we might have been able to, we might have been seeing it when it was leveling out, but then last fall, this time last year, it took off again. And every month we continue to have a new all-time high. And we look at a state like Florida, and Florida, which has a similar political makeup, partisan divide to Michigan, has 50% more CPLs issues than Michigan does because their program's been around longer. So I think we're easily going to see a day where we have 900,000 CPLs like Florida does and even past a million active CPL holders. You know, it's probably not going to be for a decade or two, but we'll reach that point.
Well, you know, whatever you want to say about Barack Obama, man, I tell you, on the one hand, he could sell guns. He could sell guns. He could sell training classes. Steve Doolin, any final thoughts here?
Illegitimae non carborundum is Latin for don't let the bastards get you down.
There you go. All right. Brady, how can people get in touch with MCRGO?
The easiest way is to go to our website, mcrgo.org. Again, that's mcrgo.org. And if they're on Facebook, they can also reach us at Facebook/MCRGO. Or on Twitter at MCRGO.
Both of you, thank you very much for being on the Home Defense Show.
Thanks very much, Kip.
All right, folks, we got a two-minute break here. When we come back, we're going to be giving you the wrap-up. I'm going to tell you what I think about all this, give you my very humble opinion that always tends to be right. While we're away, go ahead and check out mcrgo.org. That's Michael, Charlie, Romeo, Golf, Oscar. .org and see what they can do and what they have done for the state of Michigan. Skip Coriel and Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Welcome to my dad's Home Defense Radio Show. You're gonna love it.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly, Skip Coriel.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training. Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol. So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit elitefirearms.us.
Skip, it's Armed America time. What do you got?
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, an armed thief in Florida got a real surprise when his intended target turned the tables on him. The young troublemaker apparently thought that a man in his 60s who was withdrawing cash from an ATM would be an easy prey. The miscreant got a surprise when he found out his would-be victim was carrying. The armed citizen, though held at gunpoint himself, drew his handgun and fired. The suspect died later.
Thanks, Colonel. The official acronym for ATM is Automated Teller Machine, but those of us in the self-defense industry know them as Accessory to Mugging. An ATM machine is one of those transitional spaces where you are left open and vulnerable to attack. Think about it. The criminal knows you are going to be either depositing or withdrawing cash while you're there. This is a made-to-order opportunity for muggers. Here are some safety tips you should follow to keep you safe while using ATMs. 1. Whenever possible, use the bank lobby during daytime hours instead of the ATM. It is much safer inside the bank, which will have security cameras, trained employees, and possibly even security guards. 2. Operate at a heightened state of awareness around ATMs. As you pull up, think like a criminal. If you were going to rob someone, where would you hide? Where is the criminal's best ambush point? He will launch his attack from concealment. Look for anything out of the ordinary, and if you see it, just drive right through without stopping. 3. Once you drive up to the ATM, you are in a choke point with walls or curbs on both sides of you. Adjust your mirrors so you can see both sides and the rear of your car. Every few seconds, glance into these mirrors looking for danger. The mirrors are like your surveillance cameras, so use them to their fullest advantage. If there are passengers in the vehicle, have them watch for danger as well. The extra eyes and ears can't hurt. And 4, avoid the ATMs at night, but if you have to use them in darkness, there are special precautions you can take. Usually I keep my car in drive with my foot on the brake. If you see danger close, then just step on the gas and drive to safety. If the area is dark and you can't see well using your mirrors, then put your car in reverse, again with your foot on the brake. This will activate your rearview camera, which lights up the area behind you, allowing you to see much better. As a general rule, avoid ATMs. Now I know that's not always possible, so when you visit, be ever mindful that you are visiting one of the most dangerous places in our society and exercise extreme caution.
Good advice, Skip.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. Great last two segments with Steve Doolin and Brady Schechinger from Michigan Coalition for Responsible Gun Owners. We appreciate the work that they do statewide, and we also appreciate all the information that they just gave us. No doubt about it, folks, the next couple of years is going to be tough as far as gun owners. Legislation isn't going to move the way we want it to move, even though it hasn't really been moving anyways. It's just not looking good. So now is the time to reach down, grab your bootstraps, pick yourself up, and just ride tough in the saddle, because it's going to be rough. It's going to be rough for a couple of years here until something changes. But nothing changes unless you make it change. That reminds me of the Second Amendment March. Boy, we had it last summer, but you know, as the founder of the Second Amendment March, I'm on the organizational committee, and I think after the first of the year here, we're going to start organizing that. So if you have any opinions about that, you know, one of the things we're talking about, do you want it on a weekday? Do you want it on a Saturday? Do you want to see a big name band? Who do you want to come and speak? All of those things. We're going to be organizing that January on into the spring. So speak now or forever hold your peace. Gift ideas.
Oh, hey, Civilian Combat. Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry book by Skip Coriel. And don't forget my friends Nathan Nephew and Brian Jeffs. My Parents Open Carry. That's an awesome Christmas gift as well, all on Amazon. Then we got the God Virus Complete Series, all four books into one. And go to Midwest Tactical website. That's Michael Whiskey Tango Alpha Charlie.com, MWTAC.com, and just click on gift certificates. You can get a significant reduction in price for the advanced classes as well as a basic concealed carry class. So check those all out at Michael Whiskey Tango Alpha Charlie.com. Also, check out Michigan Coalition for Responsible Gun Owners, MCRGO.org. See what they can do. It's a good source of information. One thing I need to announce is on February 16, Berry County Sheriff's Office is putting on their second Church Safety Symposium. And boy, we've got some really good stuff planned for that. Of course, I'm on the planning committee for that as well. I'll be teaching a Countering the Mass Shooter Threat class. It's about a 3-hour class. You'll be getting a certificate for that, for completion of that. Hey, if you want to know how to counter mass shooter threats inside your church, that's one thing that you can check out. I'll give you more information later on how to register for that. Everything's still being built right now, so more about that after the first of the year. But that's February 16. That'll be held in Middleville, Michigan. All right, now we're out of time. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to sign off here. I'm going to hop right back on my horse. I'm going to ride the Wild Software, and I'm going to see if I can kill a few more people. Well, not me personally. Jack Ruger. Jack Ruger, the main character in this next novel that I'm working on. I just got that killing itch, folks. Somebody's going to die today. So Jack Ruger, romance / mystery / action adventure series. It's off to a great start. More about that next week. Okay, folks, that about wraps it up for this week's episode of the Home Defense Show. Until next week, remember, your purpose in life is to find something greater than yourself and serve it. Always remember, God, family, country, in that order. It's important how you live, but it's equally important how you die. Your family and the ones you love need your protection, so train, always train, stay alert, stay alive. Until next week on the Home Defense Show, this is your host, Skip Coriel. God bless you, God bless your family, and God bless America.
Thank you for joining us this week on The Home Defense Show. Now, get out there and protect the ones you love. We'll see you next week with more of the best in home defense.
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!